like rainy night in Georgia and Kentucky rain.
Here comes, you know, sometimes we just nail it on the head. And if you get our home maintenance calendar, August picture in there just really nailed it. We had a nice wet August so far, and we've got a beautiful picture of a rainstorm, a little lightning bolt going across the desert. And there's just something about when the rain and the lightning comes, the color of green that everything just, I mean, it's instantly just so much deeper and richer. I love this time of year in Arizona.
It's nice to look at Black Mountain and see green. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Camelback Mountain, too.
A lot of creosote, the smell after the rain. With the Tree Care for Wildlife and Birds, it's a committee actually run by the Western Chapter of ISA. And there's a website, treecareforbirds.org.
Hmm.
And they actually have a best management practice that is now in a final draft. And pretty soon it'll be available on that website. And what we're doing in the Western Chapter is we're training arborists to look out for birds. We actually are going to have arborists trained and knowing what seasons to do their pruning in so that you don't interfere with nesting. And also, you know, just looking out for them.
Right? And that obviously isn't going to be a perfect scenario because like you said, your crew's booked to October right now, Sarah. So it's not like, you know, you can afford to sit around and not be trimming trees or doing maintenance and then all of a sudden get, you know, all your customers done in a very narrow window of time.
Yeah, we are doing Saturday crews and we do make time for you know, trees on houses, emergencies, things like that too.
So it's not going to be a perfect scenario, but if you're, you know, managing your own trees at your home, it's a good resource to time those things.
Yeah, definitely. And leaving some habitat, leaving some dead trees, you know, with cavities. And, you know, those are great wildlife trees if you have that opportunity.
It's true. In the best practice management booklet, it says, you know, it's best not to trim during breeding season. Well, we have a really long breeding season for birds here. So I feel bad when people ask me when they should trim, and I say it's basically November is really the best time to do it, because obviously we can't just wait until 1 month to do everything. When you see storms like last night, you don't want the branches falling down, so you do have to trim throughout the year. So part of the Tree Care for Birds is trying to train arborists what to look for. You have to trim those trees sometimes, but be aware that there may be a nest in there and see if you can wait until after those eggs hatch and the birds fledge. If you can just hold off on that one tree. I work with a lot of construction companies and go out and survey the areas before they have to start their work and assess the situation and determine if it's something that I need to remove the nest right then. Or sometimes they will work with me and hold off on that section until after fledging. But usually with construction companies, they're on a timeline. They have to do it now. And so it's nice that they have biologists come in then that can bring them to Liberty Wildlife and rehab them.
Well, I had a really patient customer because we had a bird active bird nest in a dead branch. And we wouldn't cut it out. We left it. And, you know, I had his name and his stick'em note right on the top of my monitor. So when I'm in that area and, you know, I was going to go back and get it, but I guess his landscaper got it before I got back. But, you know, we're really careful and I do keep track of the ones I have to go back and get the branch out. But we do protect the nest.
And talk about the Liberty Wildlife. Where is it located?
Yeah, we have a fairly new facility. It's actually going on 5 years now, but we're just south of Sky Harbor Airport, right along the Rio Salado. So a really great location, great natural habitat right there. So we're by 24th Street and Broadway. And we started 40 years ago, actually, in a small little house setting and have just grown. And that's why we had to move to this larger location. So now we are not just the hospital setting, but we actually have a facility where people can come visit. We're open to the public on various days. We have private tours and we allow field trips to come in and actually get to look into the windows of the hospital, but also get to meet some of our non-releasable animals so that they can get an up-close look at some of the native animals that they live with.
It's worth a trip just to walk through
the owl.
Yeah.
Display. Is that ongoing? I mean, the owls you had attack me. Are they there all the time?
They are. We don't let everybody in with the owls. you got a little bit of special treatment when you came to visit us. But we actually, when we are open to the public, our volunteers are there. Our education volunteers will take birds out of their enclosures. So it's not just walking by and seeing them in enclosures kind of at a distance. You actually can get up close, really learn about them, really see them, get great pictures, and even, you know, pose with them so you can be right next to a great horned owl.
I will post that video we took that day. Yeah, it was magical. And I have told all my kids, please take the grandkids down there.
Because you've got to.
You think, oh, River Bottom, you know,
well,
how nice could
it be? Well, I have great horned owls outside my yard.
And it is gorgeous.
They're in the big willow acacias.
Well, and I was surprised because at one point in that owl cage or whatever you call it, aviary, we had about six together flying just within 2 feet of my head. Romy, when they say owls fly silently, their prey cannot hear them.
No, they are designed for that.
And you cannot even hear them moving through the air.
You just feel it. And that's what's so amazing about when we get to do that with special visitors is as you just feel the air movement, but you don't hear anything. And it's a magical moment.
It was cool. It really was.
Yeah.
Their feathers are shaped a certain way,
They
right?
have little special combs kind of on the end. It looks like a comb at the end of their wings to help the air move through so they can have that silent flight. And they have feathers all the way down to the end of their feet, basically, so that they can have that feathering all the way through. So they are truly designed for sneaking up on prey.
And your specialty is raptors, and you were saying that in Arizona we have 13 owl species?
We have 13 different species of owl, with the great horned owl being the largest. At our facility, the smallest one that we have is northern pygmy owl, but there are elf owls out there. We don't get them too often here. So when you get to come visit Liberty Wildlife, you can see a wide range of the different sizes that we have here. The great horned owl is going to be the most common one that you guys, like Sarah has in her backyard, that you hear hooting. But then we've got screech owls and barn owls, which are beautiful, and you rarely get to see them because they are truly, truly nocturnal. So getting to come to Liberty Wildlife is a great chance to see something up close like that.
And you said when you're open, is it by appointment only?
No, we actually, our hospital is open every day and our hotline is run every day. So we still take care of emergencies every day throughout the year. We do close our public side in August because generally it is not fun to walk around outside in August. So starting in September again, I believe September 11th, Saturday, September 11th, we will be open to the public again on Saturdays, Sundays, and Wednesdays. In September, it'll be 9 to 11 because it's still hot. But then in October, we open 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on those days.
How can I support Liberty Wildlife?
Well, we appreciate that since we are a nonprofit. You can go to www.libertywildlife.org and we will welcome anything that you can give, whether it is a monetary donation, whether it's an item off our wish list, or if you want to come in and volunteer. That's obviously very important to us. There are only a few of us that are actually paid to be there and help the facility run. Otherwise, we have about 250 to 300 volunteers that are everyday people that sometimes come in off the street not knowing a thing about animals, just know that they love them and they want to work with them, and they go through an orientation process and get started hands-on pretty much the first day that they come into Liberty Wildlife to volunteer.
Very cool. And Sarah's brought you all in today just to talk about the importance trees are to the bird habitat. And as I understand, we have a reduced bird population worldwide over the last, I don't know.
70 years. Forever. Yeah. It's always declining as we increase in populations, for sure.
And so planting a tree can help encourage that habitat. We had a texter call in and say, okay, love birds. I've got trees. I've got bird baths. Sarah, you mentioned you've got two on the ground, two up high. She says, but how do I keep my bird habitat from becoming the neighborhood cat snack?
Oh my gosh.
Well, and cats, I was saying that humans are, you know, a real detriment to habitats and everything. With humans come all these cats that we brought in, and they, of course, are predators to most of our birds. So it is a problem that we are trying to work with some of the humane societies to figure out how we can decrease these. And it's tough. It's a lot of trying to scare the cats off when they come in, making it less accessible for them. promoting maybe a little bit more of the larger predator species that can chase them off when they come in. A lot of people believe that great horned owls will take off with their cats. Smaller cats, it may, and smaller dogs, it may. We do warn people not to really leave your animals unattended outside if they're fairly small, because they will go after something if it's in their territory. They can't fly away with something that's heavier than them, really. So it's not like they're going down to catch your cat to necessarily eat it, but they will protect the area. So if you promote, you know, getting bird boxes and having healthy branching areas and having water to bring birds in, getting those predators there will definitely ward off some of the feral cats.
Yeah, I don't know that I can help you with cats because there's too many coyotes where I live.
So and, you've got natural predators out there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of urban coyotes too. Oh, I mean, I'm over at, by John Eisenhower's house on occasion, you know, in 85254, and I see coyotes
those
up and over the fence.
Lots.
And yeah.
Well, the foxes and the bobcats are coming in more and more, too. So we're seeing a lot more of those natural predators coming in as the resources in the outskirts were getting dry. They were having to come into more of our area.
So, and I'll tell you this. If you look up ultrasonic cat repellents, there are electronic deterrents that you can put out and make a perimeter around your yard. It might take three or four.
Do they make those for pigeons?
Supposedly. Some people claim that they do. Some people also, I've seen them putting down different cinnamon-smelling kind of sticks in areas. But like I said earlier, birds don't really have a sense of smell, so I don't know how effective those would be.
Okay.
Pigeons and mosquitoes in the same category with me. They're useless. I hate them.
Well, getting into fall, though, now we want to remember to do some fertilization on some of the trees. You know, just to help them with some, we have a product called Arbor Kelp that I just have had such good result with. And also, it helps with recovery. I mean, it's been a couple of years of pretty hard, harsh weather. And I'm just so glad that the Lord sent us some rain. And we have a great monsoon this year.
Yes, amen. More than we got the last 2 years combined.
Gary, what did you say about the monsoon now has exceeded spring melt?
So far, this year's monsoon has exceeded the snow melt from the Mogollon Rim, according to SRP. And
wow.
The winter runoff, I like when they just say, was minute. Very minute.
Yeah, that article you sent, it was 104 acre-feet of snow melt, and then these rains and this monsoon is at 125. And again, wow. That was before yesterday's rainfall. And somebody in the comment section, I believe that was off of KTAR's website, and the comment section was like, yeah, but this isn't water we can use because it all runs down the river and out. And I'm like, no, we use it. we use it.
You should use it, for sure. Do a catchment system and use it to help with your landscaping.